is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you for being here. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer. He's in New York City, Ryan Botcher. And thank you to you for listening on the free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, on Sirius XM, channel 375, on a smart speaker. You got one of those? Yeah, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've talked about a lot. Oh, we've gone through a lot. Justin Fields with his dislocated toe. We heard from Bill Belichick, not angry yet. He's a happy version, I guess, of Bill Belichick. North Carolina for ACC Media Day. We talked about the passing of Hulk Hogan. 71 years old, Hulk Hogan is a gone. We discussed Michael Penix Jr. He's excited about their offense. He thinks the Falcons could be the best offense in the entire NFL. I hope he stays healthy. Thank you so much to Zach Rosenblatt for joining us from The Athletic to talk all things New York Jets. And right before we went to break, we talked to Buffalo Bills, the team expected to beat up on the New York Jets. James Cook is another guy in the NFL that wants a new contract. He showed up to work. James Cook looking for a new deal, only slated to make a little more than $5 million this year. He wants to get into that $15 million range. Good luck. Speaking of money, I'm going to tell you about Christian Wilkins in a few minutes. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a whole conversation. Eric Edholm is going to join us from NFL Media. We'll talk all things NFL, like what the heck is going on with Christian Wilkins. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Hey, that little league kid that got suspended for flipping his bat, he's back. They had to go to court, but they went to court, and now he's back. How about that? It's nice when the system works on time. Hey, Botcha, why doesn't the court system work better for urgent things? But they were able to get this bat flip figured out in like a day.
Small claims, maybe. Family court, maybe. Restraining orders. It's a little bit different.
Just so this was a super emergency?
Yes. Massive.
Okay. Little kid flips a bat, might miss out on Little League World Series. Let's get him in there. That's an emergency if I ever heard one. Anyway, if you've missed a minute of the show, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to everybody listening on their local affiliates, SiriusXM 375, and a smart speaker if you have one. If you want to give me a holler, you can. Here's the phone number. You ready? Take it down. Do people still take down phone numbers? No, but try to remember it. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet. I exist all over the place. I am at JR Sport Brief. Damn, taking down a phone number. A phone book, remember that? Remember when cell phones, forget before even a little book, a phone book. Botcher, you ever used a phone book?
I had Yellow Pages back in the day. Did I ever use it?
No, oh. Not Yellow Pages. I'm talking about a physical phone to put people's numbers down.
Oh, definitely not. Because when that would have been in use, I wouldn't have had a phone, first of all.
Well, there's no phones didn't exist. There's no cell phones.
Well, in the 90s they came out, late 90s, but even still there was no database to hold phone numbers. But yeah, I didn't have that.
Yeah, no, Brett, when cell phones came out, you could store some numbers in the phone.
The emergency ones.
Emergency.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, they used to sell phones that were like your parents' phone number, 911. And then maybe one of your friends, if you're lucky. They came in like a plastic container, too.
Yeah, I'm talking before that, man. I'm talking about a phone book in your house, in your back pocket, underneath the phone, in a case underneath the phone. You needed to call your grandmother in Idaho. You had to open up the phone book. You had to write her number down. You had to put it there.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, if someone asked me my father's phone number, I would have no idea what it is.
Today,
Yeah, today, I have no idea what my dad's phone number is. I know my house number. I know my mom's phone number. And that's it. And my own phone number.
Damn. Yeah, nobody knows anybody's phone. Why do you need somebody's phone number, right?
Emergencies. And if you have to actually use somebody else's phone.
If you lost your phone, you just have to call your mother, huh?
Or the house phone. Or cops.
Gets the cops?
Yeah, help me, please. I don't know where I am. Okay.
You're going to waste an emergency trying to call your house? Calling the police?
No.
A waste of government funds. Wow. Do I know numbers? I used to. Now I don't care. I wish I didn't know anybody's number. I wish nobody knew my number. I wish I just fell off the face of the earth. That'd be nice. Live off the grid. Not pay taxes. Well, make my life. Hey, Botch, if I disappear, don't tell anybody what I just said, okay?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Well, I wouldn't say anything. Everybody else listening might say something.
Snitches. Rats. Everybody out here trying to cause problems. Hey, you know, speaking of problems, and not necessarily hitting on the legal system. We'll get into that with this little league kid who's now reinstated. Christian Wilkins has been given, ironically, the boot from the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders just gave this guy a $110 million contract last year. He played a whopping 5 games, had 2 sacks and 17 tackles for the Raiders before he broke his foot. The Raiders, well, we know they sucked. They went 4-13. They have brought on Geno Smith to be their future quarterback. Tom Brady is upstairs, kind of being a little puppet master when he's not broadcasting on Fox. They bring in Pete Carroll as their new coach so he could be their babysitter for a few years. The Raiders, I got no expectations for them. Come on. They will be okay. They'll take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe they'll beat them. If they beat them, they'll act like they won the Super Bowl. And then the rest of the world will just ignore the Raiders. That's what I can expect. This is almost a transition. Any team that has Geno Smith and Pete Carroll is just like, okay, when are they moving on from one or both of these dudes? The thing to pay attention to the most is just Ashton Jeanty. That's it, really. He's going to be the highlight machine for the Las Vegas Raiders. But to pay attention to them, no, not really. No, thank you. Congratulations to Max Crosby. He got a new contract, $35.5 million a year. But Christian Wilkins, as I said, he gone. And so basically, the Las Vegas Raiders have said, we are cutting you. We're releasing you. We're not paying you the rest of your guaranteed money of $35 million. Because apparently, they wanted him to have another foot surgery. He said no. He said nah. And as a result, he's been released, and he is exercising his right to say, gimme my money. Apparently, Christian Wilkins filed a grievance with the NFL Players Association to get his money back. And I would expect the Raiders, I expect the Players Association to get him some of that cash back, but I mean, damn, kind of a wild situation. You think about a spy tech coming in as the new GM, basically appointed by Tom Brady coming over from Tampa Bay. And one of the first things is beefing with Christian Wilkins. I mean, it was only a couple of days ago. Some of the wording out of Las Vegas seemed kind of odd because, you know, they were asked about him and his foot. And it was just like, oh, it's like asking about an ex that nobody liked. Well, how's that girl that you used to date? Oh, it's like one of those things. Like they talked about Christian Wilkins like he was excommunicated from the team, and apparently as of today, well, he officially is. This is an odd story. Like, can you force a guy? And I don't sit down and read NFL contracts. Can you force a guy to go get another surgery instead of having to go out there and wait? This is the NFL. The players are just, they're commodities. I don't think in the long run the teams care about him outside of, issues of liability. It's like nobody would ever come out and say, hey, well, I don't care about the players because if one goes down, we can probably replace them unless it's like Aaron Donald or something like that, even though he's retired. You get my drift. They don't care. Like, he's done, whatever. Botcher, Wilkins is going to get some money. I'm pretty sure he wanted to get a second opinion. I'm sure he got a second opinion. But the NFL doctors, they work for the NFL team. I mean, it's a natural inclination for them to do what's best for the team and not necessarily what's best for the player. Like, we know the NFL, they've screwed over their players from a physicality standpoint forever, man.
The only thing with this situation is I don't know how severe this foot injury is. Would there be a reason for the Raiders to be right in the fact that they suggested surgery? They don't want their player, who they just paid all this other money to step on the field one game and then, let's just say, break the foot again. If they can't have stability in their player staying healthy and they know they can get it if he has this second surgery, they're still going to pay him. Just probably not as much with incentives and all that other stuff. I think that's where the lines cross, but you can't try to put damaged goods on the field when you put a long-term investment in this.
Yeah, so what are you saying?
I'm saying that maybe the Raiders weren't 100% wrong here in the whole situation, and maybe this foot injury is more severe than we're seeing.
Well, we don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it is a severe injury and Wilkins is somehow coming out and saying, yeah, I'm fine to play, but really isn't and isn't putting himself in risk, that's a big problem for the Raiders.
It could be, but that's not to say that he's putting himself at risk. Maybe he wants to continue to rest and rehab for his foot to improve. You know, maybe he understands that his foot isn't fine. Maybe he's just like, well, I've already, can I recover from the surgery I just had? Y'all already want to cut me open? I mean, the report here is he declined having a second surgery despite the team's request for him to go under the knife again to address the issue. We hear about players having to get cut open more than once. It doesn't happen all the time. But anybody who's had surgery knows that, hey, if you have it once, you might have to have it again. Like, there's nothing perfect about surgery. It goes down. There's a chance that you may have to go through it again. And I think when you are a gigantic offensive lineman like Christian or defensive lineman like Christian Wilkins, there's a good chance that you being big as hell, having an injury to your foot, isn't necessarily, going to make things better. In an overall sense, gigantic human beings with foot issues, those things just don't go away. I mean, here's an example, and I use it because it was a popular one that I used a long time ago. Was anybody shocked that Yao Ming had foot issues? Like, come on now. The guy was 7'6". This is an extreme example. He was 7'6". Bacha, how much you think he weighs today, this very minute?
350.
Bruh, I go higher than that. Yao Ming, 350? You think he weighs 3? Yeah, well. I'm putting him at 4 bills. Is that too high?
Yeah, it's reasonable. When you're that tall, you can carry that much weight. It's just
he is 7'6". Who is 7'6"? Nobody. If you are 7'6", call me now. I need to talk to you, and I need you to send me a visual evidence. 888-710-4ISN. If you are 7'6", call us. We'll get no calls because nobody walking around is 7'6". Nobody. Why would anybody? Well, it's not like Yao Ming asked to be that tall. I joke quite frequently that they matched his parents up and put him in a lab and said, here, make a basketball player. But I mean, damn. Yao Ming was 7'6", and he wore like a size 13 shoe. There was no way that man's foot was going to last. Look, and that he had a small foot for a guy who was 7'6". Was it Chet Holmgren? He broke his foot. Didn't he break his foot before he even played?
It was like a simple jump in Drew League or whatever it was, Summer League.
Yeah. He got one of them, and I'm sure, I don't know the size of his foot. I don't go around Googling NBA feet. But Chet Holmgren, his foot has to look like one of them dudes who steps out of the clown car. I would just think for a guy 7 feet, 7 foot one, he probably got them big old feet. Man, you got some feet, you're going to have some problems, man. Christian Wilkins, he ain't 7 foot six. He's not Yao Ming. But a guy on the defensive line with a now broken foot, how all of a sudden is that guy's foot going to be better? I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. He's going to get some of that guaranteed money back. The NFL Players Association cannot have an instance where an NFL team says, hey, screw you because you didn't want to have another surgery. We're just going to take away all your money. I mean, if I was Christian Wilkins, I'd be pissed to high hell if I'm not able to get more of my money back. Christian Wilkins listed at 6'4", 310 pounds. Yeah. That guy's foot ain't going to just heal. I don't know if he needs another surgery, but it ain't just going to heal. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? We'll take a break. When we come back, let's have a chat with Eric Edholm. He covers all things NFL for the NFL, for NFL media. I'm going to ask him about Christian Wilkins. We'll talk about some of these other stories, James Cook and the foot of Justin Fields, the Raiders. There's a lot. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. What a busy day in the NFL. What a busy couple of days. It's always busy in the league, especially now that training camps are underway. We got players looking for money, got players who haven't showed up to work, players who are at work looking for money. We got guys who are getting cut and released, looking for their money back. There's a lot going on in the NFL. To talk about some of the biggest stories and what we can expect moving forward, joining us right now is someone who covers the league for the NFL, for NFL media. It's Eric Edholm. Eric, thank you for the time. Appreciate you.
Pleasure's mine. What's going on?
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on. We just talked about Christian Wilkins, the fact that the Raiders have given him the boot and are not paying him any more of his guarantees. He's trying to get the money back through the NFL Players Association. What's the latest? Is his foot really that damaged? Do we know anything? What's up?
And I like the pun too. Boot, foot. That was a good little tie in there. I like that. You laced it in nicely. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go. Lace it up.
Very interesting situation. Obviously, I mean, this was a prime free agent for them a year ago. You know, they brought him in 4 years, $110 million, more than half of it guaranteed. You know, paid him $20+ million for 5 games, 2 sacks, whatever it was that he had before suffering that Jones fracture in his foot. And the disagreement or the reason why they're terminating this deal early, and you could kind of see there were some signs that there were some complications. You know, Pete Carroll kept deflecting and saying he's got a long rehab, and you know, we don't know when we'll see him, that sort of thing.
Right,
and
yeah.
You know, all summer, just didn't know what the deal was, and you could sort of feel there was something brewing there. And you know, he was in a walking boot recently and I think showed up to camp one day. And I think they just felt like he didn't attack the rehab the way the plan was scheduled, the way the team thought he was. Now, again, who's to say, and with this grievance that he's filed, I'm sure that information will sort of be made public. But yeah, this is a big blow for a Raiders team that I think had generated a lot of buzz this offseason. You know, I mean, with Carroll and Ashton Jeanty and, you know, Tom Brady's increased, you know, sort of activity with the club. And, you know, it was maybe some thought, maybe they were a team that could, with a healthy Max Crosby and Wilkins, maybe compete. Now that's that plan's changed a little bit.
When you take a look at the Raiders, even with the plans changing, knowing that Geno Smith is probably not around for the long haul, same thing for an older Pete Carroll. What are the Raiders doing? Are they just trying to steady the ship right now for the future or whoever comes after?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that, right? In terms of let's make sure we're not going to skip a step here in the process. We have to regain some credibility a little bit. And obviously, Pete's won a lot of games. Geno, I think, has been in some ways one of the more underrated quarterbacks since you know, his rise in Seattle. He took over a real tough situation after Russell Wilson, and we had to win the job with Drew Locke, and has made the most of it. You know, I mean, I thought he played really well last year, even when, you know, the wind was in his face a little bit. Offensive line struggled in Seattle, and you just sort of felt like, you know, even though that reunion was a poo-pooed a little bit at first, but I think both sides warmed up to the idea. You know, Pete said, I know what Geno can do, and Geno knows what Pete expects of him. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, this doesn't obviously derail the entire process. I think, you know, the draft was a very good process for them. I think they have at least rounded out the roster a little bit, and, you know, we'll see if they can still compete in a pretty thorny AFC West, I would say.
Eric Edholm is here with us on behalf of NFL Media. You talk about that AFC West. We saw what happened to the team always at the top of it. The Kansas City Chiefs went to the Super Bowl, lost, redid that offensive line. Travis Kelce lost some weight, had the worst season of his career since he was a rookie, really. Was second year, I should say. And then Rashee Rice missing time. He'd probably be suspended. Are we expecting the Chiefs to take a step back, or should we just expect them to be the same damn Chiefs?
Yeah, that's a fair question, right? I mean, given the way they won games last year by the skin of their teeth, in some cases, you know, the blocked field goal at the end against Denver. I mean, how many close wins were there? It was every week. It seemed like, you know, that Panthers game, they barely got out of Charlotte alive, and, you know, so many instances of that. Everybody thought, okay, their luck, their time is coming, right? The Super Bowl certainly proved that they were in a lower weight class than the Eagles, at least on that day. But even if they win fewer games this year, I'm still not giving up on this team. The left tackle thing is really interesting because, you know, they tried to play Kingsley Sumataya last year at left tackle. Now moving him inside to guard, it looks like. And, you know, everybody thought Jalen Moore, the kid they signed to a pretty hefty deal, $15 million a year from San Francisco, Trent Williams backup. Okay, that's the guy you plug in, but sounds like they're possibly open to the idea of Josh Simmons from Ohio State stepping in there, the rookie. And, you know, they benched the rookie after two games last year, pretty much admitting it wasn't the right call. And I wonder if they do that again, but the receivers are still strong. Trent McDuffie's going to move outside and I think be a better impact on that defense. They still can play well on that side of the ball. So I don't think they're going away anytime soon.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, especially with Mahomes back there. One of the teams that we always expect to knock them off, if any, happens to be the Buffalo Bills. Before you joined us, we talked about the comments from James Cook, as he is at work, doesn't want to be fined, but is still looking for a new contract. And
yeah,
Saquon set the market at the top with 20. We know he's not getting that. We got a bunch of other guys that are sitting around in that 15 range. Is it realistic that he gets a new deal, or the Buffalo Bills going to go, hey, man, screw you, you're a running back?
Well, as you pointed out, I mean, last year was sort of a resurgent year for the running back in general. I mean, even with Christian McCaffrey missing a big chunk of the season, you had Barkley, you had Derrick Henry, you had Josh Jacobs and other backs having really successful seasons and really in some ways being, you know, kind of the anchor man in a lot of ways for those respective offenses. And, you know, James Cook had his best season in Buffalo and was scoring touchdowns last year and a big part of what they did. And so, you know, I did feel like he leveled up. Did he level up to the level he wants financially? We'll see. As you pointed out, I mean, that $20 million ceiling is pretty big, especially for a team that has Josh Allen, right? I mean, you know, Saquon and Hurts, they've made it work, especially with those two receivers. They found a way, but they've had to cut salary elsewhere. McCaffrey certainly looked doable when Purdy didn't have his extension. You know, now it's tougher. They had to get rid of Debo this offseason. They had to let other free agents walk. You know, the Ravens are kind of riding that tight wire a little bit too, even though they extended Henry. But yeah, I mean, that's the problem. It's a lot easier for a team like Indianapolis to pay Jonathan Taylor, given their quarterback situation, than it is for a team like Buffalo with Josh Allen making top of the market money. But yeah, I mean, in Cook's quote, he said, look, a deal's getting done, whether it's here or elsewhere. So, you know, his agents have primed him for the possibility that, you know, if you want to stick to your guns and get every dollar that you're asking for, it may not happen in Buffalo. still think he's going to end up signing there for maybe less than he asks, but it's something they're still dealing with.
Yeah, he said he loves the fans, he loves the city, but I guess he loves that money a little bit more. Ed Holm is here with us from NFL Media. Ed, I want to throw you a question that was asked of me earlier in the show by one of our listeners. It was about the NFC North. We know Detroit is, I don't know if they're losing a little bit of juice. We certainly know they lost Ben Johnson, who's now with Chicago, trying to help out their new quarterback or second-year quarterback, Caleb Williams. We know J.J. McCarthy going to get a start. Be surprising if Minnesota has another 14 wins. And then you got Green Bay, who seems that they're just trying to get things together by adding new wide receivers. What are your thoughts on this competitive NFC North?
Fascinating. I think if you're measuring 1 through 4, it's the best division. I mean, like, you could make a case for others, but AFC North strong, obviously AFC West. But, you know, I think the Bears were better than their record indicated, but there was just so much chaos, right, with the Matt Eberflus stuff. And what Ben Johnson was hired was to do two things: to get Caleb Williams right, maximize, squeeze what, you know, the most talent you possibly can out of him, build an offense around him, and then also to be a stickler for details and be a hard ass, somebody who's going to hold these guys accountable. I think there was just too little of that last year, and you know, it became a situation where nobody was really taking account for anything, and that's how you lose a game like you know, the meltdown in DC and the Thanksgiving game against the Lions. It was awful. So again, there were signs that they have some talent there, and Green Bay is probably better than their record indicated last year too. But which one of those teams, if any of them, can maybe take advantage of the fact that the Vikings aren't going to win 14 again, or if they're going to, it's going to take a lot to do that. Maybe it's the Bears. Maybe it's the Packers, though. Jordan Love's still got another level, I think. But you're right, with the Lions and Vikings, at least on paper, facing some real challenges with Detroit's injuries, the coordinators leaving, a brutal schedule, all the things you mentioned with Minnesota, as good as they might be. I mean, you could see a really tightly packed division in the NFC North.
Oh, that's going to come down to the final weekend. Is there a team across the NFL that you see potentially making a big jump, Eric?
You know, a defined big jump, because I can see, obviously, Tampa is one of those teams that is kind of, you know, obviously they've won recent Super Bowls, but different era now with Baker, right? A little different situation. I think they're a team capable of making a Super Bowl run. If Tristan Wirfs' injury is not this major concern, if he doesn't miss a big chunk of time, I think he's the best or one of the top three left tackles in the league. That offense can really, really go. Defensively, I think they're going to have more depth in the secondary with the draft picks, some guys coming back from injury. Maybe they have some juice in that pass rush. I just sort of feel like they're one of those teams that, you know, might slip below the radar a little. You still have the Eagles. You still have the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, and the 49ers might bounce back. There are plenty of candidates. We mentioned all the North teams, but Tampa's one that I think might just gear up a little extra this year and win a couple playoff games or something. But improvement wise, like from the bottom to possibly the edge of the playoffs, maybe New England. I mean, Drake May, Mike Vrabel, Travion Henderson, Kyle Williams, they've added some help on the defensive line. It's been a pretty good offseason, I think, for them, and putting last year to bed, even with all the May excitement. They might have something decent there this year, especially if the, you know, the Jets and Dolphins are still trying to figure out who they are.
Now, well, final question for you, Eric. Those are all teams that are trying to get to the mountaintop. We saw the Eagles go back. They're going to be favored again, and people are still talking about Jalen Hurts. Cam Newton is in the news every other day, and people are arguing over, is he a great quarterback? Is he a good quarterback? Does he have too much talent around him? Can he catch a break? Like, why does he? Is it just because of the talent? People don't respect what he does?
Yeah, he's a little unorthodox, right? His style is a little different than other guys, but he plays with such coolness and such equanimity, and he's sort of the perfect leader for that offense. And you know, all the drama that happened with Nick Sirianni and how are these guys going to work together? Nobody talks about that anymore, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. Sirianni too. Both guys figured out a way to, whatever differences there might have been or whatever disconnect football-wise or personality-wise, they just said, let's make this work. And they did. And so that to me kind of adds to his superpowers, and he's already a you know, top five running quarterback. I would argue he's on the edge of being a top five passing quarterback, somewhere in that 5 to 8 range, you know. So we're still talking about an all-around top 10 talent at the position. I don't think he's one. I don't think he's two, but I wouldn't go too many more names before getting to him. And I don't know. That's just my personal thought. And he's obviously capable of leading him to the game. He's done it twice and played well enough to win both times.
Yeah, and listen, all things considered, his football talent, his skill set, and then his manner, his mannerism, how he carries himself.
Absolutely.
He's a winner, and I think that counts for a whole hell of a lot more than people want to give him credit for. Eric, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody how they can follow you and keep up with your work.
Yeah, NFL.com. I'll be cranking out. I've got a lot of stuff setting up the preseason, or setting up a training camp, I should say, and got a few more pieces I'm still working on. And this weekend we got some camp action on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Eric, thank you so much. Great conversation. Look forward to having another one down the line. You be well.
All right, you too, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Shout outs to Eric at home. Covers all things NFL for NFL Media, NFL.com. Yeah, this Jalen Hurts can't catch a break. You know what? When we come back on the other side of our break, let's hear some of these comments. Cam Newton is just, I'm not going to say he's chopping him down, but Cam Newton is like, damn it, he's not a top 10 QB. Let's hear what Cam Newton has to say on the other side. Right now, it's time for a newsflash on the Infinity Sports Network with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Eric at home for joining us. Writes for NFL.com, part of NFL Media. A great conversation. Talked about Christian Wilkins and the Raiders releasing him, waiving him. He's like, I want my money. They're like, well, you didn't rehab your foot the way you were supposed to. Oh, you didn't get the second surgery that we wanted, so we ain't paying you. He's like, I'm going to the Players Association. They're going to fight for my rights. We talked about James Cook. Looking for a new contract with the Buffalo Bills. He's like, hey, I'm getting paid somewhere. It better be with the Bills, and if not, I'll get my money somewhere else. He feels good about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Damn. Got Godwin coming back from that injury, and we'll see how he looks whenever he's ready to go. Mike Evans is getting older. Baker Mayfield would be insufferable if he ever won a Super Bowl. And so we had a great chat about everything going on in the league. If you missed that conversation with Eric at home, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. And then we talked about Jalen Hurts. There's all these teams trying to get to the mountaintop. He's been there. He's been there twice. He came out on top once. We saw that earlier this year when his team went out and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And he's been in the news because Cam Newton, who has his own podcast now, 4th and 1. Every now and then, Cam Newton is known to say something quite controversial. Sometimes it's about relationships. Most times it's about football. Well, he had some thoughts about Jalen Hurts, and he thinks that he has so much talent around him that he's hard to judge, and he doesn't consider him to be a top 10 quarterback. What? Listen to what he had to say about Jalen.
Now, I know everybody's going to get mad at this.
Cam hating on Jalen Hurts.
It's hard for me to grade Jalen Hurts with the talent that he has around him. Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. But if we're talking about what they bring to the table holistically, it's hard to judge what Jalen Hurts can do when you're throwing to a guy like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. We have tight end skill set. You have a dominant defense, the best running back in the game. Download Madden and see how many stars is on the offensive side of Philly. Jalen Hurts does not have to play elite for the Philadelphia Eagles to win. He has to play good, but he doesn't have to play elite. We're not asking you to win the game. We're just asking you not to lose it. When you ask that question, are we winning because of you, solely because of you, or is it the resources around you? So game changer, game manager, those are the things that you have to ask yourself, and those are the metrics that I'm going off of. It's like, bro, even when the tush push, you got 5 people pushing you, bro. You got a solid group around you, dog, and the man who Jalen Hurts is, bro, I respect him. I take my hat off to him. But just because he's a great guy, that don't mean I can't critique his game.
Yeah, you can critique his game, but I think a lot of what he does gets lost because he does have talent around him. He's not out there just slinging the rock. He's handing it off. But I respect the quarterback who can also just, how about this? What a novel idea. Win. Like, he's a winner. He has a winner's temperament. He's never too high. He's never too low. He's never out of place. He's always playing within himself. He's one of the best rushing quarterbacks. He's turned into one of the best passing quarterbacks. He just gets the job done. And so, of course, there are plenty of people online who pulled up the numbers and the stats. And when you take a look at the numbers between Cam Newton's first five seasons and Jalen Hurts' first five seasons, we know Cam Newton was the entire offensive engine for the Carolina Panthers, even when they went to the Super Bowl and he decided not to jump on a fumble. Sorry, Cam Newton. Cam Newton had three Pro Bowls in his first five seasons, one time All-Pro. He won that MVP that we know about. That's when they went to the Super Bowl, went 15-1. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts in his first five seasons, a two-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champ, and a Super Bowl MVP. Oh, yeah, he's been to two of them, by the way. You can't take anything away from this guy's career, all things considered. If you value winning, Jalen Hurts has been a better quarterback, has had a better career, I should say. Let me say that. He's had a better career than Cam Newton at his start. We've already heard from Cam Newton months ago. He's like, hey, yeah, if I had a choice to, you know, give back my MVP or win the Super Bowl, I'm keeping my MVP because it means that I did what I had to do. And maybe that's why you didn't ultimately win, because you were thinking about yourself and not thinking about the team when you could have dove onto a fumble. Shout out to Cam Newton. He has a nice cigar place, by the way. I'm expecting him one day to ban me, but that'll, anyway, that's another conversation. Ryan Clark, of course, Ryan Clark responds to everybody. Well, RG3 deserves to get gone at it. RG3 says some dumb stuff. Ryan Clark, he got at Cam Newton for the comments.
Let's take Cam Newton, right? What made Cam Newton great? He could be powerful in short yardage and goal line. He could extend plays with his legs. He was this big physical presence. So is Jalen Hurts, right? Cam Newton went to the playoffs four times. Jalen Hurts been to the playoffs four times already. Cam Newton went to three Pro Bowls. Jalen Hurts already been to two. Cam Newton was an MVP, and he got to the Super Bowl, and he forgot to bring his cape. When Jalen Hurts is going to the Super Bowl, he's brought his cape, and he's also brought the Avengers with him, who are not even in D.C. They in Marvel.
Oh, well, damn. And then now we got the back and forth. Cam Newton heard what Ryan Clark said. And Cam Newton said, you know what? Why y'all not being honest about Jalen Hurts? Why everybody want to kiss his backside? Listen to what Cam Newton said.
When I face the water.
When people always say, hey, Cam, you're hating on Jalen Hurts. No, I don't need to hate on Jalen Hurts. And the common thing that we always hear of, I've heard in this past week is, Cam, you're just mad that Jalen has what you don't. And Petty Cam keeps creeping back up to the microphone, and he can say, should I go down a list of things that I have that Jalen doesn't?
Not only just Jalen, a lot of other people
don't have. But hear this out, and I hate that we're making a discussion point about something that he can't even speak to.
Yeah.
But it's so many people coming to his defense, and I respect that. But talk about the point. Don't talk about the pointer.
Uh-oh. Well, now he started pointing fingers at Ryan Clark. Listen to Cam Newton.
So since that, we want to attack the messenger, Ryan Clark. Okay, let's pull up your stats. Second team, all SEC. We cannot relate. Undrafted in 2002. We cannot relate. Won Pro Bowl in 2011. We cannot relate. People keep attacking Cam, the person, or why he didn't jump on the fumble, comparing and contrasting. So when I compare and contrast you guys' statistics and Dan Orlovsky, never mind. But the message here is, Jalen Hurts, this has nothing to do with me hating. Eagles fan, this has nothing to do with me being bitter. This is just my thought process in evaluating quarterbacks. Let's make people debate about sports again. There's too many homeboys in the industry. There's too many insiders that are moved by relationships. Well, you're not talking about the person. You're more or less talking about their performance. And that's what I will talk about.
You know, the problem is, and I got no problem with Cam Newton. You can't say nothing about me. Nice cigar place he has, again, by the way. How much do you value winning? How much do you value? Isn't that the name of the game, to win? Like, nobody's winning with crap around them. And Cam Newton brought up some excellent points. You do have some guys and quarterbacks in the league who are just transcendent. They basically are their football team. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens built the entire team around him. Okay, come on. Josh Allen is the Buffalo Bills. We got Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes, let's just say, was replaced with Geno Smith. Sorry, Geno, sorry. Like, they ain't going to no playoffs. They just be a miserable, sad sack team. Just because Jalen Hurts doesn't have to do that, just because he isn't that, doesn't mean that he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the game. I would put him in the top 10. I think to not say that is not fair because of the talent around him. I still think, all things considered, he does a great job. I think he's a winner. And if he continues on the track that he's on, and I know it's a tough thing to say, but man, if he can get to another Super Bowl and just accumulate stats and numbers, he could be a Hall of Famer. I think he can be. I know it's too early. I'm not putting him in there. But his trajectory right now is winner. And at the end of the day, that's why you play the game. Not to just win MVPs. Sorry, Cam. Just being honest. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. We're going to come back from break. I'll get to your phone calls. You know what? Let's go around the world and take a look at everything that happened today in sports. Christian Wilkins, Justin Fields, Bill Belichick, the passing of Hulk Hogan. It's been a wild one. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.